Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And to do that this morning is Andrew Skousen, who is going to be talking about this week's World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you.
Why don't you go ahead and bring us up to date what's really going on behind the scenes that we're not going to hear about through the regular means of communication.
Certainly. Well, this week we would like to comment on Obama's claims about narrowing the fight against terror. Speaking, of course, at the National Defense University at Fort McNair in Washington, D.C., Obama claimed he will implement new restraints on targeted killings by drones, and narrow the scope of the war on terror from a general global war to only target specific threats that directly threaten the United States. Of course, this is just more political theater meant to appease the growing anti-war sentiment in America. Nothing will change given the generalities in his remarks that allow plenty of leeway. Even worse, these statements give the Republican leadership the excuse to put themselves in opposition to the president by favoring even more warmongering rather than less, thus leading in the wrong direction. The New York Times summarized, Obama on Thursday announced new restraints on targeted killings and narrowed the scope of the long struggle with terrorists as part of a transition to a day he envisions when the nation will no longer be on the war footing it has been on since the attacks of September 11, 2001. He signaled that he planned to wind down the drone strikes, which have stirred controversy at home and abroad. He said he would impose a higher standard on authorizing such aerial attacks and shift responsibility more from the CIA to the military. A new classified policy guidance signed by Mr. Obama will sharply curtail the instances when unmanned aircraft can be used to attack in places that are not overt war zones, countries like Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. He also suggested the creation of a secret court that would have to sign off on strikes in the future. End of the New York Times quote for now. Nothing about this quote-unquote secret policy change indicates any real commitment to stopping any drone strikes. Who will keep track of how much these attacks are reduced after this shift? Civilian deaths are still going to be a high percentage of these explosive strikes, and they will continue to go largely unreported. The supposed new and higher standard is merely that the criteria for killing foreigners will be the same as that of killing American citizens, claimed by government to be a direct threat because of assisting in the war on terror. To all of this, Joel says, what standards? Even if real standards were made public, it still doesn't substitute for due process and the airing of that evidence in court to prove the standards are being met before issuing a death sentence for a U.S. citizen. Implementing yet another secret court does nothing for transparency because the public will not see any of the supposed evidence. We know from prior history that secret courts like the FISA court take the government's word without much challenge. Once the government claims the evidence they manufacture or provide is a matter of national security, the courts have a bad habit of simply accepting that and refusing to scrutinize or demand to see details of the government's claims. I don't call that court supervision at all. Continuing with the New York Times quote, Mr. Obama renewed his moribund effort to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, by saying that he would lift a moratorium on transferring scores of detainees to Yemen, end quote. Great, Joel says, another secret prison overseas where they could be tortured at will and Guantanamo would stay open. Yemen has become a surrogate player in the U.S. war on terror, where torture still takes place, so even if Guantanamo were closed, the same evil policies of indefinite detention would persist. Yemen is also a major channel of arms being shipped into Syria. New York Times again. Mr. Obama rejected the notion of an expansive war on terrorism and instead articulated a narrower understanding of the mission for the United States. Taken together, the president's words and deeds added up to an effort to move the country away from the perpetual war on terrorism envisioned by his predecessor, George W. Bush, toward a more limited campaign against particular groups that would eventually be curtailed even if the threat of terrorism could never be eliminated. Joel says, "Frankly, I don't believe it. Even Obama admitted, neither I nor any president can promise the total defeat of terror. So whether you call it narrow or broad, the wars of intervention will go on until Russia and China develop their weapon systems sufficiently to take out the bully of the West, that handy excuse the U.S. is purposely exacerbating in order to help Russia and China justify a future attack on the West."
Well, I would
now comes the worst. Yeah, go ahead, Dr.
No, I would simply note that we have killed innocent people, and President Obama has ordered the murder of the innocent people. He killed a terrorist, and then subsequently, 2 weeks later, he ordered the murder of his 16-year-old son and a guest who was with him, a friend who was with him. The boy was over in Yemen looking for his father. There was no question the boy was involved with terrorism. They just ordered him killed. That's murder, ladies and gentlemen. And that is what's going on with your tax money, with your president, who authorized that. And there have been four Americans who killed without a trial. Now why are they suddenly saying, well, gee, maybe we ought to have a secret court that will sign off on it? He's already ordered the murder of people without any judicial review at all. And believe me, if they can kill Americans overseas without judicial review, they can kill them here in America. And if you don't think for 1 minute that the CIA and our intelligence agencies have killed people and do it routinely, you've never read the book. It's called The Missing Witnesses, the murder of 115 people who knew something about the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. You can get the book on the Internet, the used copies, written by Craig Roberts, The Missing Witnesses. But if you're unconcerned about how we're killing Americans and innocent people over in Pakistan, and probably for every so-called terrorist they kill 100 innocent civilians, if you're not concerned about that, then certainly don't ask for God to protect you, certainly in the times and the terrible times that lie ahead. Go ahead, Andrew.
And now comes the worst part. And Joel suspects this is the real purpose of the president's posturing for narrowing the war on terror. The Republicans, the globalist Team B, are going to use this to goad American conservatives into an even more militant stance on drones, war, and occupation. The New York Times: Speaker John A. Boehner, Republican of Ohio, issued 10 questions to the president in reaction to previews of his speech. Quote, "If you are scaling back the use of unmanned drones, which actions will you take as a substitute to ensure al-Qaeda's defeat? Is it your view that if the U.S. is less aggressive in eliminating terrorists abroad, the threat of terrorist attacks will diminish on its own?" End quote. Implying, Joel says, that all Republicans are for being more aggressive, which is untrue.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Andrew Skousen and this World Affairs Brief.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs: long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, we're back again with Andrew Skousen, and we're going over the World Affairs Brief for this week. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Quoting the New York Times report of President Obama's recent remarks concerning restricting terrorism, it says, as part of its shift in approach, the administration on Wednesday formally acknowledged for the first time that it had killed 4 American citizens in drone strikes outside the battlefields of Afghanistan and Iraq, arguing that its actions were justified by the danger to the United States. Jill says, that's sad news. But the propaganda campaign seems to be working as Americans become more accepting of war by executive decree. In fact, a New York Times CBS News poll showed an astonishing 90% of Americans believe they'll, quote-unquote, always have to live with the risk of terrorism. That's not so bad. Even I believe that, knowing how government is behind the high-profile attacks. But an even more disturbing 75% believe that restricting civil liberties is okay. Over one-fourth said that existing policy measures aren't enough. I've pointed out how polls can be easily manipulated by feeding telephone numbers of those with known opinions based on prior polling to the phone banks. Sadly, only 20% said government is going too far in the war on terror, and almost 80% are accepting of mass surveillance if it reduces the threat of terrorism, which the government always claims. However, if the people were this supportive, I doubt that Obama and his propaganda machine would be going to all this trouble to downplay the war and play like it is being narrowed. As an aside, the National Defense University, where President Obama gave this speech, is a government-funded university aimed at influencing middle and high-ranking U.S. officers in liberal ideologies and globalist thought. Yes, there are many valuable courses for officers on procurement standards and oversight, but much of what they are taught by liberal professors is a slanted point of view on military history mixed with much propaganda about the glories of globalism. It's no wonder every high-ranking officer picked to lead the services or the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a globalist. So that's enough about that story. Let's move on to this story about plans to create a national police force. Jed Morey reports that the manhunt for the Boston Marathon bombing suspects offered the nation a window into the stunning military-style capabilities of our local law enforcement agencies. For the past 30 years, police departments throughout the United States have benefited from the government's largesse in the form of military weaponry and training, incentives offered in the ongoing war on drugs. For the average citizen watching events such as the intense pursuit of the Tsarnaev brothers on television, it would be difficult to discern between fully outfitted police SWAT teams and the military. The lines blurred even further Monday as a new dynamic was introduced to the militarization of domestic law enforcement. By making a few subtle changes to a regulation in the U.S. Code titled, quote, Defense Support of Civilian Law Enforcement Agencies, end quote, the military has quietly granted itself the ability to police the streets without obtaining prior local or state consent, upending a precedent that has been in place for more than two centuries. The most objectionable aspect of the regulatory change is the inclusion of vague language that permits military intervention in the event of, quote-unquote, civil disturbances. According to the rule, federal military commanders have the authority in extraordinary emergency circumstances where prior authorization by the president is impossible and duly constituted local authorities are unable to control the situation, to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbances. Bruce Affron, a civil liberties attorney and constitutional law professor at Rutgers University, calls the rule, quote, a wanton power grab by the military, and says, it's quite shocking, actually, because it violates the long-standing presumption that the military is under civilian control, end quote. Joel says, apparently even this regulatory change is not enough. Over the past several years, the government has been preparing the groundwork for a national police force. The U.S. Army has even created an institute specifically to study and fund plans to create a national police force, without calling it that. It hired the RAND Corporation to come up with a study outlining how to do this and how to justify it. The document, A Stability Police Force for the United States, Justification and Options for Creating U.S. Capabilities, is worrisome because it both goes out of its way to avoid calling it what it is, a national police force, and it openly talks about the government's need to create a domestic rapid reaction military-style force that will evade posse comitatus, the law that prohibits U.S. military action relative to domestic disturbances. But that is precisely where the U.S. is headed. In my opinion, Joel says, the U.S. Army has no business using taxpayer money to devise ways to evade posse comitatus unless Congress has specifically directed to do so. Since this law is the prime legal restriction that governs civilian control of the military relative to domestic disturbances. The document, The Stability Police Force for the United States, was prepared by the Arroyo Center for the RAND Corporation, specifically created and funded under a U.S. Army contract and directed by one Terrence K. Kelly, a former Army officer who was formerly assigned to the White House National Security Council and Army liaison. RAND proposes a, quote, stability police force, a high-end police force that engages in a range of tasks such as crowd and riot control, special weapons and tactics, SWAT, and investigations of organized criminal groups, end quote. Joel says, investigations of, quote-unquote, criminal groups certainly doesn't refer to petty criminals or even organized crime, who never reach riot-sized threats and which would run at cross purposes with the FBI and local police. Criminal groups is a throwback to the old Soviet terminology for dissidents. Naturally, that investigative power would involve domestic spying, something that the government does illegally all the time now. But this force would add another level to the problem we face in controlling warrantless snooping by government. The report says, quote, we assume that a new agency would be difficult to establish. It would be politically challenging and face resistance from a range of organizations and the Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, end quote. Difficult, yes, but not from any of these federal agencies, especially if it came under their jurisdiction. The authors play with the notion of putting the program under the Federal Marshals Service, but I think that is unlikely. Homeland Security is the one who is going to direct this, and they are probably already planning offices for this rapid reaction force in their new $4 billion headquarters that recently broke ground in Washington, D.C. This huge new building will loom ominously in Washington, just like the infamous Lubyanka KGB headquarters and prison building in Moscow. Indeed, the new Homeland building may well serve some of those purposes, like interrogation and indefinite detention. Don't you just love the term stability police? Government planners like justifying every power grab by portraying it as something that will bring the public security or stability. In order to justify this expansion of power, the authors envision that the force will stay in practice by intervening outside the U.S. as well. Quote, third, we assume that stability operations are feasible only when the intervening authorities care a great deal about the outcome. And even then, only in relatively small countries or regions. We limited our special police force size estimates to countries under 20 million for reasons of cost and staffing. Specifically, we assume that a special police force that cost more than $1 billion per year would be politically unpopular and would be difficult to get funded. End quote. Joel interjects. Another worrisome aspect is the idea of keeping the special police force small, to avoid budget battles and then supplementing their size when they intervene in other countries as follows. Back to the quote. If U.S. policymakers wanted to deploy an SPF, Special Police Force, to large countries with a hostile security environment, There are several options to deal with the shortfall. A, an SPF size could be increased by augmenting it with additional federal, state, or local police from the United States. B, an SPF could be deployed to specific regions or cities in the country. C, an SPF could be supplemented with high-end police from other countries. D, an SPF could be supplemented with military police, MPs. Or E, an SPF could be supplemented by local police forces from the host country, end quote.
But, I mean, nobody ever asked, why are we wanting to send police forces to other countries? And it's very, very simple. The ultimate goal of American foreign policy is the establishment of a world government. And we are going to provide police forces for other governments. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our military stationed in 130 nations throughout the world because the purpose of American foreign policy is a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity in other countries as they are working to destroy Christianity here in the United States. That's why they've taken God, prayer, the Ten Commandments, Christmas, Easter, and any mention of God out of our schools. They will not allow prayer in schools. And understand that those who want a dictatorship, and you saw that beautifully illustrated in the Boston Marathon bombing, when this young man who actually supposedly was involved, the younger brother, took the SUV. He and his brother were driving. He raced past the police cars after the confrontation, parked at the SUV about three blocks away, and went over and hid in a boat. And basically, so what do? They lock down the entire city of Boston. They bring in military units. They start going house to house all over the city. Why didn't they search the area where the car was parked? How far could he have walked? They knew where he was. It was all an excuse to establish the principle and the precedent of going door to door, searching homes, forcing people out at gunpoint, forcing them to come out of their own homes with their hands up, because we want to find that one bad young man who was part of the Boston Marathon bombing. It was all a charade, ladies and gentlemen. It was all a charade used to justify this. And why would they do something like that? Because they want to establish the precedent of a federal police force. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America. And just as they want to establish dictatorships throughout the world, and we are financing dictatorships throughout the world. I mean, we maintain the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia. Why doesn't anybody ever talk about how terrible that dictatorship is and how they oppress women and kill people and cut off heads and cut off hands and cut off feet? Why don't we ever talk about that? Because the media is controlled and we support certain dictatorships and then we oppose those that don't want to go along with our agenda of a one-world government. And when you understand that, at that point, what's going on, and incidents like the Boston Marathon, a tragedy, began to make sense. Go right ahead.
That's right, Dr. Stand. In fact, we have some further comments about the Boston Marathon developments later on in the brief. Part of what leaves us worried here at the brief about this supplementation habit of calling in other nations' police forces to help out in some of these instances is that it could be used in reverse and give the special police force the excuse to bring in foreign troops to supplement their domestic suppression efforts here. All of this has the distinct smack of globalist military adventurism. As for the need, the authors wax eloquent. Our analysis clearly indicates that the United States needs a special police force or some other way to accomplish the SPF mission. Stability operations have become an inescapable reality of U.S. foreign policy. Establishing security with soldiers and police is critical because it is difficult to achieve other objectives, such as rebuilding political and economic systems, without it. This report was published in 2009, and so far it has not been acted upon. Not even Homeland Security is pushing for its adoption. However, I suspect that they are simply waiting for the right domestic crisis of social unrest in order to point out the need. Then, like the 1,000-page Patriot Act, which suddenly appeared out of nowhere, they will have something already written and magically ready to ram through Congress. Watch out for it. The next story is on Russia that wants more out of the next disarmament treaty. Incredibly, the Obama administration is working hard to offer yet more nuclear disarmament concessions to Russia, despite Russian cheating and withdrawal from many past treaties. Russia wants the next deal to include conventional rapid strike weapons and other high-tech systems where the West has a decided advantage. The Associated Press says this, quote, Russia's top military officer on Thursday voiced skepticism about deeper nuclear arms cuts, saying they would require parallel reductions in non-nuclear precision weapons. The statement by Chief of Russia's Military General Staff, General Valery
Hold that thought, Andrew. We're going to have to go to a break, and we'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen and the World Affairs Brief.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, Joel Skousen. And, Andrew, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and get his books on strategic relocation, building a secure home, building a secure room in their home? How can people get in touch with your dad's ministry?
Certainly, Dr. Stan. Thank you. The best way is to go to our website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word and with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can sign up to receive the brief. They can also email Joel at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. So email editor@worldaffairsbrief.com to receive a one-time free sample of the brief. They can also find links on that website to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has listings of all of the books, and you can also order them there. The books there are Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. This book covers all of the major threats that we see us facing here, and also what are the better places and ways to move to avoid these threats. It's quite a comprehensive book, one of our bestsellers. The second book is The Secure Home, which tells all of the aspects architecturally of how to design a secure residence, including shelters and security systems. It's a very large book with a huge list of recommended resources in the back. And if you're just looking to implement a single room in your house, you should get the smaller book, The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in Your Home. And that has detailed plans and a lot of information about the basic systems needed for a small-scale room and how to conceal it and secure it in your house. And all of those books are available through you, Dr. Stan, and Radio Liberty. Isn't that right?
That's right, by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. They're among our best sellers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving into very, very difficult times here in America. You need to make preparations. You need to be prepared for the America that we have known to cease to exist. We're heading towards financial problems. As you know, yesterday morning, why the Japanese stock market dropped 7%. Our stock market yesterday was down $127 on opening, came back to, I think, down $12. It's all manipulated. But there are financial forces which the Brotherhood of Darkness that controls America cannot control. In other words, I think one way or another, we're soon going to see a financial catastrophe. And are you prepared for that? Well, anyway, we suggest you get the books, that you begin making your preparations for yourself and for your family and your friends, and try to develop a circle of friends that you know will be able to help you and support you as you will support them in the very difficult times that lie ahead. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Of course, as part of our analysis of threats, we watch carefully what happens with Russia and China. And so as this development has occurred. We're reporting on that in this brief, which is that Russia wants the next disarmament deal to include conventional rapid strike weapons and other high-tech systems. President Barack Obama, who signed the landmark New START arms treaty with Russia, has pledged to work with Moscow to seek further reductions in nuclear arsenals. But Russia, which has increasingly relied on its nuclear deterrence due to a relative weakness of its conventional forces, is worried about the U.S. edge in precision weapons. Quote, "We can't take the path of cutting only strategic nuclear arsenals and leaving outside the framework of talks other weapons in which some of our partners have an indisputable quantitative and qualitative advantage," end quote. General Valery Gerasimov said, adding that such approach would hurt Russia's security. While he did not mention the United States, Gerasimov appeared to refer to U.S. plans to fit conventional warheads to some of its long-range nuclear missiles. He said that such weapons should be part of arms control talks. "All of this continues to support my contention," Joel says, "that the reason Russia and China have been reluctant all these years to actually go ahead with their planned nuclear strike on Western military bases is the fear of losing to a more technically advanced foe afterwards. The U.S. begins to accede to these demands, you'll know it isn't just suicide, but a continuance of the policy to cover for Russia and Chinese war preparations and weaken our own posture in a bid to get this war going. Why? It's the only way to force Americans into a militarized New World Order, by allowing our own military to be taken out first, a diabolical plot that many yes-men in government accede to ignorantly." All right, well, the next story is an update about Syria. Military intervention in Syria is getting closer. The U.S. this week urged Britain to reassess its policy of no direct arms shipment to the Syrian rebels, hoping that Britain will start the ball rolling. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel seemed to defy Russian threats against future Israeli airstrikes in Syria and said he would continue to intervene to stop arms shipment to Hezbollah militias in Israel. Last week, I pointed out that Israeli strikes had little to do with Hezbollah and everything to do with provoking Syria to retaliate against Israel so that the U.S. and NATO could intervene directly. That provocation seems to be working. The BBC reported that Syria and Israel exchanged gunfire Thursday on the disputed Golan Heights. Reuters said, quote, Israel warned the Syrian government Tuesday that it would suffer the consequences if it continued to press attacks hours after Syrian and Israeli troops exchanged fire, end quote. All of this is giving me the signal that the U.S. is itching for a fight, but the American people and the Europeans are in no mood for more war and military spending. That doesn't mean it will deter U.S. and NATO intervention, only that the provocation or excuse will have to be bigger and more convincing. Meanwhile, Russia has reportedly sent Yakont sea-skimming supersonic missiles to Syria, which could threaten any U.S. fleet that arrives to support a no-fly zone. Iskander medium-range missiles are also in Syria that could threaten both U.S. shipping and Israel. While the Russians have claimed they will follow through on a deal to ship S-300 anti-aircraft batteries to Syria, I've seen no evidence yet that they have done so. The S-300s are very advanced, but not the latest from the Russian arsenal, which also boasts the new S-500 series. As I pointed out this week, Joel says, the increase in Russian naval vessels is of a type that provides little threat to U.S. operations. If the Russians really wanted to stop this intervention in Syria, they would fly in a few Russian squadrons of advanced fighters to Syrian bases. I don't even think the Israelis would take on Russian fighters and risk a much larger war. Given that Russia is not doing anything of substance to stop the Western takeover of Syria and handing it over to a bunch of Islamic extremists, I still hold to the opinion that they are going to let Syria fall and not intervene. They will be anxious, however, to test their more advanced weapon systems against Israeli and NATO aircraft or shipping. Now for an update on the Boston Marathon case. CBS News reported that, quote, Boston bombing suspect Dzhokhar Tsarnaev left a note claiming responsibility for the April 13 attack on the Boston Marathon. Sources said that Tsarnaev wrote the note in the boat he was hiding in as police pursued him and as he bled from gunshot wounds sustained in an earlier shootout between police and
their brother. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Theater.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great, safe spring and upcoming summer. Tri-Property Management in Greeley reminds everyone each year millions of children suffer from abuse. And although hundreds of cases still go unreported, behind the statistics are the lives of innocent children. Help conquer child abuse and report what you know to local authorities. Remember, your call could save a child's life. This message from Tri-Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or go online at triplacestolive.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and the question is, would the government lie to the American people? Well, we were told, of course, that the younger brother tried to commit suicide. He was trapped by the police and the boat, and so he shot himself in the throat. You remember those stories? You remember the story? And then it turned out, of course, that he didn't have a gun. So how did he shoot himself in the back of the mouth? Were they lying about it? Well, there's so many other stories. I remember the Friday night when the confrontation between the two brothers and the police, and I was watching certainly the Rock Center and Brian Williams, and they had these pictures that were released by the government, and they showed they were infrared shots. There were two blue blotches there with all sorts of dots on them, and the dots were shots fired from the boys against the police and the police against the brothers, and hundreds of shots by the brothers, and it turned out they only had one gun, one revolver, and all of those shots, ladies and gentlemen, they put that program on Rock Center for to be seen nationwide to convince you that these boys had all these guns and all the ammunition, and they were shooting at the police, and it was pretty much a one-sided confrontation. The kids had one gun between them with limited ammunition, and the boy who supposedly shot himself in the back of the throat didn't have a gun. So why are they lying? And then the story that Andrew is about to tell about the confession. Go right ahead, Andrew. We're told that the younger brother wrote a confession. He's in the boat. He's certainly cold. He's wounded. He can't see anything. There's no light. It's dark. There's absolutely no light in the boat. And what happens?
That's right. And CBS News reports that supposedly Dzhokhar Tsarnaev left a note claiming responsibility for the April 13 attack on the Boston Marathon.
Well, what did he write? How did he write it?
It said that he wrote the note in the boat he was hiding in as police pursued him, and as he bled from gunshot wounds sustained in an earlier shootout. The note, scrawled with a pen on the interior wall of the cabin, said the bombings were retribution for U.S. military action in Afghanistan and Iraq, and called the Boston victims collateral damage, in the same way Muslims have been in the American-led wars. When you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims, the note added. End of the CBS quote. Joel says, I frankly find it hard to believe that hiding in the dark, the younger suspect took the time or had the ability to write out such a long and convenient confession. The claimed bullet wound to the throat is also now known to be false. We have a link here to a video report where police SWAT team members involved clearly state that the wound was not a gunshot, but a slicing wound, possibly from a knife.
This is
the younger Tsarnaev was not
brother
armed with either a gun or a knife.
Right. Go ahead.
And so he could not have done this to himself. So the question then is, did someone slice his throat at the larynx to make sure he could never talk? More evidence, according to government sources, continues to come in, with witness identification of one of the Tsarnaev brothers as a bomber. Fox News reported, Jeff Bauman, the 27-year-old man whose legs were blown off by the Boston bombings, reportedly helped FBI agents identify one of the suspects, saying the man looked him in the eye as he placed a bag filled with explosives at his feet, end quote. Joel says, this is interesting for a couple of reasons. Besides the identification of one of the bombers. One, Bauman is the person some people on the net claimed erroneously was part of the faking of the bombing incident with hastily done makeup. Bauman is alive to show his damaged legs. Two, close-ups of the bomb before it goes off clearly show a bag on the ground, not a backpack, since the other bomb was witnessed to go off higher on a wall, probably behind a big screen TV. Why is a shredded backpack being paraded as evidence, too? If he pulled the bag out of the backpack, why is the backpack even damaged? If you click on the prior link to hear Fox reporter Maria Stefanos describe what she witnessed, scroll ahead to minute 640, where she describes the explosion being above the crowd. Then there was the story this week of the mixed martial arts acquaintance of Tamerlan Tsarnaev, who was shot by FBI agents after claimed a violent encounter during the lengthy interrogation. Reuters said this, Todashev is one of at least two friends of Tamerlan who federal investigators have been looking at very thoroughly since the Tsarnaevs were first identified as Boston bombing suspects, a law enforcement source said. A friend of Todashev in the United States, Husin Taramov, said Todashev was trailed constantly for the past several weeks by agents and questioned repeatedly by phone and in face-to-face interviews, which lasted as long as 5 hours. Taramov said he was questioned as well, end quote. This is strange, Joel says. I know of no precedent for such long and frequent interrogations going on without detaining someone and bringing them in to FBI or police offices. The government says the suspect pulled a knife out and became violent. However, this too seems illogical since there were also two state troopers there with the FBI agents, all armed. Who's going to take on four armed agents with a knife? I guess we'll never know, as dead men tell no tales. The father of the boy is distraught and angry and is flying to the U.S. to find out the real story. He says his son must have been tortured and wants to see the body. Now about the recent story about the British murder of a soldier in London. This is probably real terrorism. Inevitably, when the globalists set out to occupy and antagonize Muslim nations under government planned terror attacks, they will engender this kind of backlash, real terror. Experienced in Britain this week as two black Ethiopian immigrants raised in Britain and converts to Islam attacked and killed a British soldier returning to his barracks using knives and cleavers. It was a grisly murder scene witnessed by numerous bystanders, made even worse because the attack went on for 20 minutes before the police arrived. This is unconscionable. The time delay was so long that one bystander who was filming with their video phone got an impromptu speech from one of the assailants with bloody hands talking about his cause. Britain, of course, has total gun control, and nothing demonstrates how helpless civilians are to intervene before police arrive than this kind of horrific tragedy. When police did arrive, they had to shoot the two assailants, and Britain is so sensitive about the use of guns that police officials announced an immediate investigation on whether the use of deadly force was necessary. The day after, Prime Minister Cameron hinted that the security services had these two in their files. No surprise there. As The Guardian wrote, quote, Scotland Yard and MI5 will have known very quickly about the two suspects in the Woolwich attack.
We're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, this Dr. Stan, in time, I need to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or advertise with us or get our products, our books, videos, DVDs, 4 CD sets, or you can get the health products we have, the spices. If you like eating, why, we've got wonderful spices. We've used them for 20 years. We're actually selling them now. And then, of course, we have the Miracle Tooth Soap products, Berkey products. And well, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will help you to understand what is really going on behind the scenes. And the powerful spirits of forces, and yes, secret societies that are there. There really are secret societies, ladies and gentlemen. You're never going to hear about them. Why? Because they're secret. And because the media is controlled. If you doubt the media is controlled, you need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Magdikian, a professor at the University of California who followed the control of the media for 30 years. The book, The New Media Monopoly. We have so many other books that we carry that will help you to understand what's going on today. The foundations, their power and influence, the story of the great tax-exempt foundations, and how they've been funding communism since its inception. After all, you have to have an enemy, and of course that's a very convenient enemy. You need to understand that this whole war on terrorism is phony. It came about after the attack on the Twin Towers. But what really happened? Did the Twin Towers come down, as we've been told? We have a great new video. It's put out as a motion picture, but of course they won't show it in major theaters across America. But it's the story of what happened on 9/11. It's called Operation Terror, and we recommend it to you. That's Operation Terror. We have a couple of 4 CD sets, 9/11 update. We have a 4 CD set, Why Do the Buildings Come Down, where we interview the man who was in charge of certainly cleaning up the demolition of building number 7. And as it says, 99% certain. That was not certainly building didn't come down because of a fire. Didn't come down because a plane hit the building, because no plane hit the building. He said it was a controlled demolition. Why would they take down Building 7 as a controlled demolition? Because the whole thing was a controlled demolition. The whole war on terror that started at that point was all phony. That's how they would get through the Patriot Act. Basically, we go to the airport and we have to go through security. It's all psychological. It's to convince you there's really a problem. They've never yet caught one terrorist. They've never caught one terrorist trying to get onto a plane. It's all for your benefit, psychological benefit, to convince you that, oh, we are under a terrorist attack, and yet our borders are open. Terrorists can come in anytime they want to, but they don't do it. They're not coming in and creating explosions here over in Iraq. Why, for instance, just last week, I think there were 60 people killed from terrorist attacks. We don't see it in the United States. And the war on terror is phony. Your reality is being created by those who control the media. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com, and we encourage you to certainly contact us and get the information you need. And if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we ask you to do it. And if not, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so, until Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ.